Why don't you take your Bibles, if you will, and turn with me to the book of Psalms. And I'm trying to find my glasses. It's hard to find your glasses when you don't have glasses on to find them, so I'm going to have to wear these. I want you to turn to Psalm 40, if you will. And I want to talk to you a little bit. I was thinking about the fact that this is a new church and just getting started, new building and all the rest. And just thinking about some of the things that if the church is going to really grow and be successful. And I will tell you this. This is a good crowd. I mean, I go to churches that have been here for 20 years, preacher, that don't have this many for Sunday school. So this is a good crowd. And but I want to talk to you about serving the Lord. I want to talk to you. I want to give you seven reasons why you ought to serve the Lord. Okay. So let's just Psalm 40. I'm going to read just a verse or two, and then I'll say a few words and we'll pray and. And then I'll give you some reasons why we ought to serve God. Look at chapter 40, Psalm number 40, beginning at verse 1. David wrote this and he said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. He put a new song in my heart, in my mouth, even praises under our God, many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Let's pray and then I'll talk to you a little bit from these verses. Now, Heavenly Father, I want to thank you today for the privilege of being in your house. And I want to thank you for the Solid Rock Baptist Church. And Father, it's probably a good name because I know the pastor's solid and I know he's never changed. And I thank you for that. And I thank you that there is an independent, fundamental Baptist church on this corner that takes the right kind of stand and has the right kind of music and believes the old King James Bible. And Father, I just pray that you might bless this place in a wonderful, wonderful, mighty way. I pray, dear God, that it would just begin to grow by leaps and bounds and people would get saved, baptized. And I pray, dear God, that this church would soon find its a need to get another building or build a building or whatever, and that you would just bless it miraculously. We know this. We know that with when your hand gets on a work, that you can grow it and bless it and great things can happen. And so I thank you for that. I thank you for this church. Thank you for the buildings that they have here now and pray that you would bless. And Father, I pray you bless this morning as we study your word in Christ's name. Amen. Let me just talk to you for a second. In Psalm number 40, which is a psalm we're going to look at this morning, David gives seven reasons why we ought to serve God. Now, we're not going to go to it, but over in Psalm 100, David gives us seven ways to serve God. Here's what David was saying. He was saying we ought to serve God in Psalm 100, and here's how you serve God. But in Psalm 40, he said, before you can know how to serve God, you've got to know why you're serving God. Did you know there's a reason for everything? There's a reason for everything. Someone said to, and we'll get back to the guns, okay? Someone said for everything there's an opposite and equal reaction. So when you fire a rifle, for instance, the bullet goes out that way, but the recoil comes back this way because there's an opposite and equal reaction. Well, there has to be a reason for everything. And I thought about this. For instance, marriage is an action. Love is the reason for the action. Amen? Now, everybody doesn't get married for love. But that ought to be the reason you get married. But action is marriage. And love. Somebody told me this one time. They said, do you know what the definition of love is? I said, no, what is it? They said, here's the definition of love. How'd they say it? They said it's a temporary state of insanity. This is love. It's a temporary state of insanity, but it's curable by marriage. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what somebody said. But so you get married, your action takes place. Why? Because of love. Train up a child in the way she'll go. Now, the action is you. And listen, if you've got kids or had kids, you know, this is a long-term hard deal, raising up children, if they're going to turn it. But the action is train up a child. Why? Because we want to get a product. We want him to turn out the way the Lord would have him turn out. So the action, there has to be a reason for every action. How many of you work a job? Okay, about three of you. That's going to be great for the tithes and offerings. All right. So you work a job. Now, why do you work a job? I don't know why you work a job. I worked for 60 years. Now, why? Because I like to eat. So the reason for the work is because I got bills to pay, I've got to eat, so I work. People say this. They say, well, I would work, my job is so wonderful, I would just work there anyway. I'd like to see how long you'd last if we took your paycheck away. I bet you wouldn't be running down there every morning if you didn't have a paycheck. There's a reason for why we do. Now, that's what David was saying. David was saying, listen, here's how we ought to serve God in Psalm 100. But he said, before we do, let's understand why we serve God. So I want you to look at Psalm number 40 with me. And I'm going to give you seven reasons why we need to serve God. And let me just say this to you. I don't know if I'll get them all in. I know I won't be able to say everything I want to say about each one. But I'm going to get as many of these in as I can. Now, preacher, is there a clock here? Okay, there's a clock, all right. What time do you want me done? 10 of. Okay. All right. Let's look at the psalm. In verse number 1 it says, David said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me, and He heard my cry. Now, if you want to write this down, you're welcome to. Number 1 is this. We ought to serve God. We have a responsibility to serve God because He hears and He answers our prayers. This church right here would have no hope if there were not a God who hears and answers prayers. You see, I know that long before you ever got this building, folk were praying, Lord, we need a building. Lord, we need chairs. Lord, we need these different things. Well, look, we've got to understand this. The reason you have the pews that you have now is because God heard your prayers and God answered your prayers. That's how it happens. You say, well, hey, listen, I went on, what was that? You told me Angel's List or somebody's list? Craigslist. And there they were. Hey, we're giving pews away. Well, listen, that's not just a coincidence. That's serving a God who hears and answers our prayers. Here's another thing to think about. How many pews do you have in storage? 12. Now, you ask God for seating for your people. You've got more than enough seating right here, but you've got 12 pews. Now, if they did come from God, if God gave them as an answer to prayer, why'd God give them to you? There's a reason they're back there. You know why? Because God wants to fill this place up, add a pew, add another pew, add another pew. God hears and answers our prayers. And let me tell you something. We ought to jump up and down and praise God and be ready to serve God and do what God wants us to do. Why? Because He's real and He hears our prayers and He answers our prayers. Folk, we have a prayer hearing and a prayer answering God. That's not just a cliche. That is truth from the Word of God. And I can tell you this. Somebody said to me, I don't know if it was Brother Campbell, but somebody said to me this week, a preacher said to me, he said, I forget his words, but he said something like, I don't want to act like I'm anything big or anything, but God does hear my prayers and answers my prayers every day. Let me tell you something. Every day of my life, God answers prayers. You say, well, how come God doesn't answer my prayers? You know, one of the problems is we don't even understand what miracles and answer to prayer is. Anytime God reaches down from heaven and does anything for you, takes care of any problem, changes anything in your life, is it you need to get saved?
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. At least he knows he does, as he's halfway there. So God answers my prayer. Listen, every little thing God does in your life is an answer to prayer. And miracles don't have to be great big things. Miracles can be little things if God reaches down and changes something. Now, why should you serve God? Why should you build this church? Why should you go soul winning? One reason is God hears and answers your prayers, and that's a privilege from God. Let me give you a second thing. Number two, in Psalm number 40, the second thing is this. We need to serve God. We ought to serve God because He has saved us from eternal hell. Look, if you will, at verse number 2. Here's what David said. David said first in verse 1, I waited patiently, and he inclined unto me, heard my cry. That's answer to prayer. But David said not only that, I'm going to serve God because He brought me up also out of an horrible pit. Now, I don't know what you think, and I know sometimes a scripture means a certain thing, but it's applicable in other areas. I don't know what you think, but here's what I believe. I believe that's talking about hell right there. I believe David said, God brought me up out of an horrible pit, an awful place. I was on my way to hell, and God has saved me from eternal hell. Do you understand you don't ever have to see hell? How many of you are saved? Wave at me if you're saved. All right, you don't have to ever see hell. You'll never feel the fires. You'll never smell the smoke. You'll never know anything about hell. Why? Because God has brought you up out of an horrible pit. And listen, God did it. You didn't do it. Even the faith that you had exerted to accept Christ wasn't even your faith. It was God's faith. Faith cometh by hearing. The Bible says He's the author and the finisher of our faith. So what is it? God gives me the grace to be able to, and the faith to be able to believe Him and trust Him for His salvation. I don't ever have to go to hell. We need to get back to preaching about hell. Hell's an awful place. David called it a horrible pit. And hell's a place where there's... Listen, here's a description of hell. Hell is a place that burns with literal fire and brimstone. I get a little sick of preachers who talk about, well, I won't call his name because I don't want to get you mad at me this early in the day. But a certain evangelist who was well known for many, many years, great evangelist, many people saved under him, but was interviewed and asked in his old age about hell, and here's what he said. He said, we may have been a little bit mistaken about what hell really is. He said, I do believe in hell. But he said, I'm not certain that there is fire in hell. He said, I believe maybe hell is just the very fact that we are separated from God forever, and that would be like fire being away from God and never being with us. So let me tell you something. God, who made the alphabet, knows what F-I-R-E is, and He said there's fire in hell. It burns. It's never quenched, the Bible says. And when a man is cast into hell, the Bible says, the worm dieth not, the fire's not quenched. You never die. It's a continual pain and agony in hell. You say, why would a loving God ever send anybody to hell? God never sent anybody to hell. God has done everything He can to keep us out of hell, but because He's a just God, hell must be paid for. And so, God's done everything. Look, so I heard a preacher say this one time. I liked it. He said, if you die and go to hell, you're going to have to literally step over the dead body of the Lord Jesus Christ to get there. Because He died so you would not have to go to hell. But David said, hey, I'll tell you something. We ought to serve God cheerfully. We ought to be excited about serving God. Why? Because He saved us from the horrible pit. You don't wave at me again if you're saved. You don't ever have to go to hell. Isn't that something? You never have to worry about hell. So David said we ought to serve God because He hears and answers our prayers. We have an open line to God. Not only that, He brought us up out of the horrible pit. Let me give you a third thing. I'm trying to get through these. Number three, He's working on cleaning us up. Think about that. God didn't just save us from hell and leave us like we were. God saved us from hell and has begun a work in our life. Look at verse 2. It says, He brought me up out of the horrible pit. Now watch this. Out of the miry clay. Now I believe the miry clay there represents, I think He's talking about sin. He not only brought me up out of the pit, but He's cleaning up the miry clay. He's cleaning up all the sin and all the... Let me just tell you something. None of you are perfect this morning. Maybe the guy with the gun. I'm only saying that to protect myself. But nobody's perfect this morning. But here's the thing, if you're saved, you're not what you used to be. I mean, you're not perfect, you got a long way to go, but you're not what you used to be. I like that song. Now, preacher, you know, I'm fundamentalist, so I don't believe in all this new music stuff. So now I'm going to tell you about a song, and if it's a bad song, you tell me after the service, okay, so I don't use it anymore. But I don't know who wrote it or anything, but I just remember, I like the words of this song. The song said this, "Today I went back to the place where I used to live. My little girl ran and hid behind the door. And I said, honey, don't be afraid. You have a new daddy now. Thanks to Calvary, I don't live here anymore." Apparently, here's a little girl that had a daddy who was unsaved, that I don't know if he mistreated mom, mistreated her, I don't know if he was a drunkard or what he was, but they went back to the old house and she ran and hid, and daddy said, "Hey, you don't have to hide anymore. You know why? I'm not what I used to be. I've been changed by Calvary." God is working on you. The Bible says He's trying to. God is working to turn us into the image of His dear Son. He's trying to make us more like Jesus. Isn't that great? And working on us all the time. And when we give up on ourselves, God still hasn't given up on us. Isn't that great? So, hey, why should you serve God? Look, it's got to be a wee bit discouraging starting over again. It's got to be. But you know what? There's also good things about a new start. I mean, listen, I had a preacher tell me this. He was pastoring a church of about 200, I guess. And he'd been there for 20 years at least. And we were talking, and he said this to me. He said, "Brother Burwell, I'm thinking about resigning my church." And I said, "You are? Man, you've got a beautiful church building here. You've got a Christian school that's going great. You're running a couple of hundred." He said, "That's my problem." And I said, "What do you mean?" Here's what he said to me. He was serious. He said, "When I started this church, there was everything out there to go for. I mean, get more people and another bus and add a room and oh, there was just so much. Start having the bulletin. All these things to do." And he said, "I was busy all the time, and every week it'd be something new that happened. It'd be good and we'd be excited." He said, "But now I've been here for the last 10 years. He said, "that I've been here." He said, "We haven't had one financial problem." Boy, wouldn't you like that? He said, I wasn't sure he was Independent Baptist when he told me that. He said, "We don't have one financial problem." He said, "There's not a person, 200 people." He said, "There's not a person in this church that's upset with me today." He said, "They all love me. We got more money than we need. Everything is going great. The buses aren't broke down. Everything's wonderful." And he said, "But here's my problem." He said, "I feel worthless." He said, "It seems like it just goes by itself. There's nothing for me to do." He said, "I'm thinking about resigning and starting a brand new church so I've got the whole world out there that I can work toward. I want to serve God," is what he said. "I don't just want to sit around. I want to serve. I want to do something." Well, let me tell you something. God has been working on us. He continues to work on us. And He's trying to make us into His dear Son's image. And He gives us that reason to serve Him. I want to serve God. You know why? He hears and answers my prayer. When I need something, I go to God. I prayed this morning about something I need, and God took care of it. Took care of it this morning. I love that. You know, I love it that, you know, here's what preachers say. I wish I had more time. Here's what preachers say. They say, "Well, you know, God answers three ways." And maybe He does. I don't know. He either says yes, or He says no, or He says wait. And maybe that's true. I don't know. But I hate to wait. So, I love it when I prayed this morning. I have something that I had to have. And I said, "Lord, I need this, please." And I begged God this morning to give me this, give me this, give me this. And by the time, just before I got to you, preacher, God, boom, gave it to me. It was done, taken care of. I like that. I'm glad that God's working in my life. So, look, He hears and answers my prayer. I don't have to go to hell when I die. He's working on me, trying to make me better. And there's room, by the way, for me to get better. Amen? I'm like that little kid. I'm like the little kid who was in church, 6, 7 years old, and he was just mean as he could be. And I think they all are at that age, maybe. But this one guy, probably like about like you, he just got fed up with his kid. It was his son. He got fed up with him, and he just grabbed him up and shook him and threw him over his shoulder and went out to the... And the door was like right where yours is. You had to go out the front. And taking him out, you know what he was going to do. You know what was going to happen here in a minute. And man, he started walking down, and that kid's hanging over his shoulder looking back at the bend. And they said, just as he rounded the bend, the kid looked up and said, "Y'all pray for me." Well, let me tell you something. God's still working on us. He's still trying to make us better. And we'll never arrive. We'll never be all that we can be, which is great because that means God never stops working on us. He's trying to make us more like His Son. Hey, that's a reason to serve God, isn't it? Hey, can I ask you this? If God's never going to quit working on you, then you ought to never quit working for God. Amen. So, that's a reason to do it, man. Get excited about it. Let me give you a fourth thing. If I can find my glasses. Number four is this. He gave us eternal security. Let me show it to you here in this chapter. In verse number 2, said, "He brought me up out of the horrible pit, saved me from hell, out of the miry clay, cleaning me up." Now watch this. "And set my feet upon a rock." What does that mean? I'm not drinking because I want to drink water. I'm drinking because I'm an old man and I'm dried up. And I used to go to churches and the first thing, somebody would come to me and say, "Brother Burwell, would you like some water at the pulpit?" And I'd always say, I'd sort of like reflect on their preacher, you know. I'd say, "No, I don't need water. I'm a man." Well, now I'm still a man, but I'm a dry man. So, but at any rate, He gave us eternal security. He then said, so I'm on my way to hell. He hears my prayers. By the way, that's important because if God did not hear your prayer to accept Christ as Savior, you'd have to die and go to hell. So it starts with Him hearing your prayers. He hears my prayer. I get saved. He picks me up out of hell, out of the horrible pit. Then He begins to work on me, cleaning up the miry clay. And He sets my feet upon a rock. He gives me eternal security. Aren't you glad that the Lord... That's a good reason to serve God, isn't it? Say, well, if God didn't give you eternal security, you'd be spending all your time trying to stay saved. Well, you don't have to spend any time trying to say, stay saved now. So you can spend that time serving Him. Amen? He sets our feet upon a rock. We have eternal security. We can never lose it. The devil can do a lot of things in your life. He can cause a lot of troubles. He can cause a lot of problems and heartaches. But he cannot touch your salvation. Because your feet are on the rock. And by the way, that rock's Jesus, in case you don't know that. He put our feet upon a rock. So I'm saved. Jesus said it this way. He said that we're in the hand of the Lord, and Jesus' hand is in the hand of God, and nobody can remove us from the love of Christ. And he goes on and talks about that there in the Scripture. So I have eternal security. So this is a pretty good deal here. All God wants me to do is serve Him. And, you know, think about it, folks. I mean, we need to be Christians around the clock. We need to serve God around the clock personally as we, you know, carry tracts with you, give people tracts, try to be an encouragement to somebody, whatever it is. But actually, when it comes to church, really, we come here Sunday morning for Sunday school and church. Is that a lot to ask? I mean, you mean I got to go to Sunday school and church? That's 2 hours. Well, that's 2 hours out of a life of I don't know how many hours in a week, but 106. God sent him for me today. 168 hours in a day. Boy, I sound smart now, don't I? 168 hours a day. And your Sunday school and Sunday morning. And then they feed you. They give you coffee and donuts and all that kind of stuff. And then they feed you after church. Boy, it has always been an eating place when he's around. It's an eating place. But I'm just telling you. 2 hours, that's all God says in the morning. You mean you got to come back again on Sunday at night? You understand what God has done for you? That's why David said in Psalm 100, here's how you serve the Lord. But in Psalm 40 said, before you do, here's why you serve the Lord. You know why I come on Sunday to Sunday school and Sunday morning? There's a reason why. There's a reason why. You say, what's the reason? I have my own reasons. You have your reason, but there's got to be a reason to bring me back Sunday morning, two times on Sunday morning. There's a reason why I go home, take a nap. Well, good. You sleep better than I do, though, because you're in Maryland with a gun, and I'm in Maryland without a gun. But I go home, and I take a nap. And Brother Keith, trust me, I never wake up from that nap ready to come to church. I wake up from that nap ready to go back to sleep. But I get up and come. Why? There's a reason. Now, I don't know what your reason is. I want to serve the Lord. I'll be 71. The thing that matters the most to me right now, preacher, and I'm a nobody, and I know I'm a nobody, and you know I'm a nobody. But I will say this. The one thing that I want is to please the Lord and have Him say one day, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So I love the Lord. I have a reason. I don't know what your reason is. Somebody said this. Somebody said, well, I don't need a reason. I just serve God because He's God. Well, that's your reason. That's your reason. But there's got to be a reason for what we do. Here's why folk don't come Sunday morning and Sunday school. They don't have a reason to come. And the reason they don't have a reason, boy, does that make sense? It gets bad when I'm not sure what I'm talking about. The reason they don't have a reason is because they've not looked at these verses and realized what God's saying. You want a reason to serve me? I'll give you a reason. I've saved you from hell. I'm cleaning you up. I answer your prayers. I've given you eternal security. There's a reason to serve me. And we have to have a reason to serve the Lord. Let me give you another thing quickly. And I'm watching that clock. I'm doing really well. We're going to get out early. You know what that means, don't you? Get to eat more. All right, let me give you something else. Number five. Number one, He hears our prayers. Number two, He saves us from eternal hell. Number three, He's working on cleaning us up. Number four, He gave us eternal security. Number five, He gave us, get this now, He gave us a new path to walk. A new path to walk. Let me show it to you. Look with me, if you will, at verse number 2, the last part of verse number 2. Let me get over there. Where the Scripture says, and set my feet upon a rock, and here you go, and established my goings. He established my goings. Now, well, listen. Before I ever got saved, I was going in a certain direction. And then I got saved, and when I got saved, He not only saved me from hell and all those things we just talked about, but He turned me around and He established my goings. That's why the Bible says the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. The steps of a righteous woman are ordered by the Lord. The steps of a righteous young person, in other words, God has lifted us up out of that horrible pit, miry clay, put our feet upon a rock, guaranteed our salvation, and got us on a new path. Now, we get off that path a lot. But I tell you what, there's a Holy Spirit who lives inside of us that keeps saying, hold it, hold it, you're going to the right here, get back in the path. Sometimes we're rebellious. Sometimes we get worldly and get away from the Lord. and we get away, but God, the Holy Spirit, is always there trying to keep us. You know why? Because He established our goings. He has a direction He wants us to go. You are going in the right direction, at least right now, because you're in Sunday school. You know, it's amazing to me. God ordained the local church. One of the three institutions that God ordained. He ordained a family. He ordained government. And He ordained the local church. Now, this is God's local church. When He set up the local church, He put a man in charge. And I've got a sermon, I don't know, I'm going to ask the preacher about it later, but I got a sermon that I might preach this evening on the preacher, the man of God. But he put a man in charge. And so the man said, okay, 10 o'clock Sunday morning, that's Sunday school. Now, as far as I'm concerned, that's God's time for Sunday school. Because God spoke to the heart of His man, and His man set the time. All right? 11 o'clock, morning service. So the man of God sets up the time. That's when our service is. We're supposed to be there. Now, if I'm going to serve God, I need to be... Let me ask you a question. How can you even consider anything you do for God being service if you don't do the reasonable service? Do you know what the reasonable service... You know what the Bible says? We're to do our reasonable service. Do you know what the reasonable service is? Now, here's what I believe the reasonable service is. Number one, you go to church every time the doors are open. Number two, you give your tithes and offerings to the storehouse. Number three, you're to witness to people and tell people about the Lord. I'm just trying to think. There are two more. I just can't think what they are. But they're reasonable service. Did I say prayer? We're to pray. But they're reasonable service. How can we feel like we're doing anything by way of service for God if we're not doing the things that reasonable things we're supposed to do? We're supposed to be in church every time doors are open. Hello? I know that kills you, that nap thing again, huh? We're supposed to be in church Sunday school and Sunday morning. That's only 2 hours. Sunday night for an hour. And then you're free till Wednesday. Is it Wednesday's prayer meeting? So the preacher says Wednesday at a certain time is prayer meeting. So you got an hour on Wednesday. That's all God's asking for, so far as church is concerned. He wants you to go soul winning when the soul winning time comes. And if there are special meetings, you ought to go to special meetings. You ought to support the local church. But I'm just saying this. When you consider what God has done for you and what little bit He's asking so far as the church is concerned, it's just amazing to me that we don't serve God. But that's what David was saying. David was saying we've got to serve the Lord because He has done these different things for us and He has put us in a new path to walk. Let me tell you what He's given us for that new path real quick, and I'll be done on time. Number one, He's given us the King James Bible to lead us down that path. Everything we need to know about how to go is in the Bible. Then number two, He's given us the Holy Spirit to give us the power to obey His Word and do. There's not one thing in the Bible that God asks you to do that He doesn't give you the power through His Holy Spirit to do it. He never asks you to do anything you can't do. That's why, you know that little song, if just a cup of water is all I have to give, then just a cup of water is all that's required. That's not the right words, I'm sure. But that's what God's saying. He's saying, look, when I was 30 years old, I had a clicker. What do you call them? A counter. I went out and bought me a counter. You know what? Anybody, you look like... never mind. But you know what those counter things are? And I would go door to door and I'd count and I'd do 100 doors. Now I'm 70, I'll be 71. 100 doors, you know what 100 doors would mean for me right now? A trip to the hospital in the ambulance. That's what it would mean for me. Did you ever notice this? When you're a young man, you're out there running across people's lawns. And I've got, listen, back in the days of Brother Hiles, all these Hiles graduates, they'd wear a nice suit, Keith, like you got on, with tennis shoes to go soul winning because they were going to run from door to door, man. Zeal galore. Now, when you get up a little bit in age, you're not running across lawns. You're looking for apartment houses where you can just like hit seven or eight places in just a few steps. But you know, that's all God's requiring. God just wants from you what you can do. And let me just tell you something. It's amazing to me. There are people, there are Christian people, who are so sick they can't get out of their bed, that they would go to church 10 times a week if they could have their health back and be able to go and be able to do the things they want to do. We have our health. None of us are real well. Here, especially here, there are some also some mental problems in this place too. But none of us are real well. But listen, I got up this morning. I was able to get out of bed by myself. I even dressed myself. And she picked my colors because I'm colorblind, but I dressed myself. And I got in my car and I actually drove the car to church. Isn't God good? Man, God is good. That's why 22 years, 22, 24, since 22 years, when I pastored, we had a convalescent ministry. And Mrs. Burwell really was the brains of the thing. She really held it all together. I'd go preach sometimes. Sometimes the preacher boys would go preach. She'd do all the memory verses with them and all. And they loved her. The old people just loved her to death. You know, birds of feather, you know how it is. But they loved her to death. But we went down there. Can I say this? The place smelled terrible. People have accidents all the time. People got food rolling out of their mouths. But we went anyway. You know why? Because, hey, we didn't have to live there. We just get to go there and help somebody who has to live there. Man, I tell you what, if you have any health at all, you ought to just dedicate yourself to serving the Lord. And by the way, the success or the failure of this church is going to be based on how many people say, I'm going to serve the Lord. Whatever it takes. Sunday morning, no question. Sunday school, no question. Sunday night, no question. I'm in this thing. I'm in it for the long haul. Wednesday night, I'm here. If there's a special meeting and I can get off work, I'm going to be here. I am going to support this thing. I'm going to serve God. Not because I'm so in love with Pastor Campbell. Not because this building is so great. But because of what God has done for me, I'm going to serve Him. I'm going to serve Him. I'm almost done. I got about 3 minutes. So let me just read off these last ones real quickly. So, He hears and answers our prayers, saved us from eternal hell, cleans us up, working on us, gave us eternal security, He gave us a new path to walk. Let me just list these next two, last two things. Number six, He has given us unexplainable joy. That's in the first part of verse 3. Look at it there. First part of verse 3, the Scripture says, and He hath put a new song in my mouth. You know why there's a new song in our mouth? Because we have unexplainable joy. He calls it joy unspeakable and full of glory is what it's called. And we have an unexplainable joy. Listen, it's amazing because there's a difference between joy and happiness. Happiness is something that you work up. You know, hey, we got the new pews, I'm happy. But joy is something God does inside of you. And here's the difference. Happiness leaves when troubles come. Joy stays when troubles come. That's why we sorrow not as others which have no hope when there's a funeral, because we have a joy. We're not really happy our brother just died. But we have a joy because God put it there. And it's unexplainable. And then the last thing is, He has given us a new message And that's in the next part of verse 3. Look at this. It says, even praise unto our God. So He's given us a new message, and that message is a message of praise for what all God has done for us, the things that we just listed. Say, preacher, what's the result of all of that? Now, here's the result. The result is people will get saved and the church will grow. You say, where's that? Look at verse number 3, the last part. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Now, let me say this. I'm done. Many shall see it and fear. What are they going to see? Your joy. What are they going to see? Your faithfulness to church. What are they going to see? You're out there knocking on doors. What are they going to see? You're reading your Bible, sitting in a restaurant maybe, reading your Bible, praying. What are they going to see? You getting up from your table, going over to another table and giving a tract. So, what are they going to see? They're going to see you serving God. Why are you serving God? Because of what all He has done for you. But the Bible says they'll see it, the result. They'll see you serving, and many will fear, and they'll turn to the Lord. They'll get saved. Now, here's the deal. They have to see it to get saved. They won't see it if you don't do it. So what do we have to do? We have to say, okay, here's the deal. Because of what He's done for me, I'm going to give myself to serving Him, and if I do, many will see it. It may be on a bus route, it may be here, there, where many will see it, and we'll get to talk with them, and many will get saved, and God's work will grow. And that's what it's all about. But it all goes back to why are you going to serve? If you don't have a reason, you won't serve God. But if you're thankful enough for what He's done for you, you'll serve Him. And so will I. Heavenly Father, thank You for the time we've had together. Thank You for Your Word. It's so wonderful. It speaks to our hearts. And God, it makes so much sense when we read it and listen to it, explain it. It makes so much sense how thankful we should be because of what You've done for us, how much we ought to be willing to serve You. And Father, if we'll just be thankful and serve You, You said that's how the church grows. That's how people get saved. That's how lives are changed. That's how marriages are salvaged. That's how teenagers are recovered. It all comes from the unsaved seeing the saved who are serving God because of what God has done for them. Help us to do it here at Solid Rock Baptist Church in Christ's name. Amen.